I'm here today. I found out I was a real bad sinner. I was born in sin. And I'm a sinner by choice. Mm-hmm. I found that out. I already knew it, but it really didn't help me. But now I've got a good life going on, and I hope everybody else does. But what I want to do, before we get started, Dave Barnes is going to be our guest speaker today. I just want to announce that Dave and Irma got married Monday. And marriage is in the air. Victoria, listen up. Marriage is in the air.
For everyone, if your name is not Victoria, you don't get to be 50 and not married if there's like a chance you're going to be married.
Gloria and Randy got married yesterday, and I had the pleasure of doing their ceremony. Outstanding.
No.
Do you want to do anything right now, Sylvia? Or?
I don't know. Well, I brought some flowers for both couples, and I brought a cake. So I don't know if we can do that at break.
Or yeah, that'll work then. As long as we know.
We can cut the cake or something.
Everybody hang around. Don't nobody leave. We got enough food to choke it up. But anyway, it's back to the service this morning. Our first guest speaker, and as I say the first, there's not going to be but one guest speaker today. This is Brother Dave Barnes. We're going to have a second service. I'll take over about 11 o'clock. But brother, come on up and let us have it. All right.
There we go.
You don't have a new look.
I've been told not to put my drink up here. I need to put it down here somewhere.
Yeah, that's pretty advertising.
I know. It's a Southern thing. Anyway, I'm glad to be here, and I'm glad to be able to spend some time talking about my Savior, my Lord, and our relationship to Him. But let's begin with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You that we have this group to get together with, this congregation, whatever you want to call it, this church, this gathering, that we can share and learn and grow and understand our position with You. It's so important that as Christians, we get a feel for what we need to know, and the knowledge is where it's all about, and the more we know, the more we can serve, and the more we serve, the more we can reflect the love of Christ back to the world. We thank You for that opportunity in Your name. Amen.
Amen.
All right, our study today is going to anger a lot of people. If there's people watching that have been through denominations and have been involved with them over the years, I'm here to tell you that all modern religions and denominations are based on works. And people go, well, wait a minute. No, it's the grace of God. Yes, it is. But after the salvation comes the works in a lot of cases, if not even before. And so we're going to talk about that. We're going to understand that it's not about works. It's about the love of God. It's about giving back to the world with the right motivation, not just doing it out of fear or concern or this kind of negativity that is religion. Okay? Religion is designed by man. It's designed to control people. It's designed to get their money. It's designed to tell them what to do and how to live. As opposed to true spirituality, which is going to your Bible, studying, understanding your position in Christ, understanding your position with God, and then reflecting the love of Christ back to the world. That's our job. Our job is not to perform, although there's wonderful things we do, and we'll talk about that as we go through the study. It's about reflecting the love of God back to the world because of what He's already given us. If you have a child, I always bring this up, but it's a great example. If you have a child, do you want him to keep his bedroom clean and neat and organized? Because if he doesn't, you're going to beat him? Or you're going to punish him? Or do you want him to respect what he has with the love in you, and he does it accordingly because of that respect? We don't perform for God to win favor. We've already got all the favors. We perform for God to share the love of Christ so other people can enjoy what we have, okay? It's about that. Let's get to our paper here. I'm going to try to make sure I get this done in an hour. You know, it should be easy enough. It's not that big. It's wonderful that we can study for an hour. Think about it. Most people show up at church and get 15 to 20 minutes from the pastor, and that's it for their entire week. And they're not encouraged to study. They're not encouraged to do anything. I encourage you, every verse we talk about, look at it in your Bible. Study it. Because the more you study, the more you know. The more you know, the more freer you can be in delivering the love of Christ to the world. It's as simple as that. Prove me on any of this to be wrong, But this is where it's at. I start out with, all modern religions are based on some form of works. Islamics, Catholics, Buddhism, it doesn't matter. Christianity, obviously. You got to perform. You perform, you're God, and you will be blessed. You step out of line, and you get cursed. Is that what everybody teaches? Is that what you've heard growing up? That's what everybody hears. Yep. This is used to control people. It has nothing to do with true spirituality. We do not perform, that should be for God, instead of for God. Typo. For God, to win favor, but do the right thing because of what we've already been done for us. This is a major difference and a radical difference and contrary to all denominations in modern religion. If you're a pastor in one of these other churches and you've been busy telling people how to live, this is going to get you angry, and I don't care. Because you know what? Show me where it's not true. Show me from the Bible where I'm in error here, because you're not going to be able to find it. Far too long, the church has confused spiritual maturity with works and performance. Many people feel that if they're doing the work of the Lord, they are now mature in Christ. However, that's not true. Okay? That's not to say we don't do good works, but we must do them with the right focus and motivation. That's very important, and Paul talks about that. We must have a firm understanding of grace and conduct ourselves with the right attitude. In addition, we must be careful to be sure we are teaching the right spiritual knowledge based on grace and rightly dividing the word. Critically important, and if you don't understand what that means, see me later. We're going to talk about it in this class a little bit. You need to rightly divide the word for you to understand your marching orders for today. If you're confused and you're doing things out of the Bible that don't make sense for today because it's not your marching orders, you're going to be a very frustrated Christian. And you're going to be very disappointed. And you're going to wonder, as Irma said, I can't be good enough. They tell me I got to do this. They got to do that. She was in the religious system. And it was very frustrating for her. I can't be good enough. I'm going to give up. She gave up. I just can't do this anymore. Because the reality is, God doesn't expect you to do that. He expects you to reflect the love of Christ. You need to understand that. You need to be saved first. And then reflect the love of Christ back to the world. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 10 through 15. Paul kind of lays out here how important it is to do the right thing and the right focus. If anybody gets there, please begin reading it. 1 Corinthians 3, 10 through 15.
According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon.
Stop right there for 1 second.
Okay.
He lays a foundation here. He sets up the order. He explains how it's to be done. Go ahead.
Let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work should be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If a man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire.
All right, to me, I need a pen, by the way, if you got an extra one. I got to mark things down as we do this thing. This is about the focus, folks. Focus, folks. This is about being in the right direction. If you're doing things, you're building some kind of a church and an edifice to you, and all this money and all this glamour, and you're flying around in airplanes, and your focus is in the wrong place. That's not what we're here to do. And whatever you build, even if you truly understand the finished work of Christ and you're focused in that area, in the end, it's going to mean nothing. It's going to have no value because the focus is wrong. Your attitude is wrong in doing it. Our attitude must always be reflect the love of Christ back to the world. Let other people see the love of Christ. Let other people see the finished work of Christ so that they can take that and they can be saved. And after being saved, they can become part of that and make a difference in the world. That's the goal. That's our focus. Anything else is going to have no value in the end. Okay? Yes.
There's that one verse of Scripture. It's Christ at work in you, both with will and do of his good pleasure. Mm-hmm. So whenever you say, I did it, you're taking the glory for it.
Yep. Yeah,
and that's what the church I get. As a matter of fact, this last yesterday. I was talking to a man who was a leader in the church, and he was the evangelism director there. And he was telling me about all the notches he's got in his gun, and all the souls that he'd won. He won. What he did.
Okay.
And see, all that's burnt up works.
Gone.
It's motivation. Christ that nobody's going to get. Jesus is the only one that can win somebody. Mm-hmm. I can't win anybody. My testimony is garbage compared to what the testimony of Christ is. And so if the glory goes back to him, and my God is a consuming fire. And if the glory doesn't go back to him, it's got to burn. It has to burn.
Absolutely. Where is that focus at? Where do people come from? So therefore, that being said, the breakfast I made today for everybody was God, not me making it, just so you know. Let's clear that up. Anyway, our foundation must be in the finished work of Jesus Christ with a backbone of grace that was revealed to the Apostle Paul. That's where the focus needs to come and go from. Our message must reflect the unconditional love of God that God has for us and seen through the dispensation of grace, totally different than modern religions. Irma and I had this conversation this week. Why do people never study their Bibles? I mean, there are billions of Christians out there that have never cracked this and studied on their own. Not just read a verse or two, okay? But actually read it to try to understand it. Read it to learn from somebody. Read it to focus on it and figure out what it means, not just these are words. Most people never, ever do that, okay? We're all guilty of being too busy to slow down and read our Bible sometimes. That's for sure. I am, okay? But we have at least, we come here, and that's a study, and we also take it home and study some more sometimes, and learn more and grow more and understand things more. It is a learning thing. Being saved is the starting point. The more you learn, come unto knowledge of the truth, you can then share with the world. Okay? And that frustration you felt in the denominational system goes away because you're not trying to do something that wasn't meant to be done. You're not trying to live a way that wasn't meant to be lived. You're living for God now out of the love of what he's done for you, not out of, I better do this or else. Yeah. I mean, when I was young, I had old beat-up cars like everybody does when you're young. Okay, and I was determined that my lustful thinking was going to break my car at some point out in the desert, and I was going to be in trouble, and I'd have a long way to go home. I was fearful. I was seriously fearful of that because I was young and 15 and all these pretty girls, and oh my God, my car's going to break. I mean, it's just crazy, the stuff you think, though, okay? When you're at that point in your life. And as you get older, it's a different point. You should go to bed every night with the love and the joy of Christ and peace with him. There should not be any angst in your body and your soul about your relationship to God. Ever. You should never feel that. And if you start to feel that, you need to go study real quick because you're getting confused with religion. Religion's sucking you back in. Don't ever go that way. Every single day you should have that joy and that peace. Let's go to Romans chapter 5, verses 6 through 10. This is both our salvation, but also our focus.
For when we were yet without strength in due time, grace died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commanded his love towards us that in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath with wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life.
How can you put a fear of God and works into this? Okay? Modern denominations tell you the grace of God saves you. Now you have to do this. Now there's another term here for you to get sanctified. Now you got to perform at some sort of level. I get Facebook friends. I have one Facebook friend that posts stuff all the time. Salvation is the easy part. It's sanctification. That's where the work is. I mean, he seriously puts that stuff out. And that's where he's living. And that's the angst and the pain and his existence. He's never going to be good enough for God. Guess what? Not going to happen. You're already sanctified in Christ. How can you be in the body of Christ and not be standing perfect in God's eyes? When he looks back, he doesn't see Dave and all of Dave's sins. Thank God no one else sees all of Dave's sins. God sees me perfect in Christ. That's where my position is. And that's where I sit and enjoy the peace. And I go to bed at night joyful in the Lord. at peace. If I go in the middle of the night, I'm there, I'm done. But more importantly, my experience is peaceful and joyful. And so when I get an opportunity to help somebody, you help somebody. We had that opportunity this week. This lady friend we knew who's really dire straits. And, yeah, we just shared the love of Christ with her and helped her up. You know, there's opportunities out there. But the point is, when they come up, you don't do it because I better do it or else. If I don't do this, you know, I'm gonna pay the price for this one, okay? Doesn't exist. And that changes everything. When you understand that fully. Christ did it all. It's not about me. It's not about what I can do. Because guess what? I can't do anything. Romans chapter 4, verses 4 through 5 says, "Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of death. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness." If you're saved by grace and then you have to work your way to sanctification, you're probably not saved. You do not understand salvation. You are mixing it up and confused, and you're probably not saved. You need to look at yourself and examine that. If you're out there and you're in the internet world that sees these studies that we do, if you're in that situation where you think, I better perform, you've never accepted the finished work of Christ. Boy, when you understand that, it sets you free. Irma fought it forever because of her religious background. And when it finally came to her, it was like, can't snap. It was like that. Everything changed. And it's the same for all of us. When you finally understand the finished work of Christ and you realize he did it, not me, I can't do anything, done, you now have joy. And peace. Yep. Okay. Go ahead.
Christ died. He said it's finished. And that was it. He did it all for us already.
He didn't say this is the starting point. Now you're in the minor leagues. You better perform well to get to the big leagues. But that's what religion teaches. That's what every religion in the world teaches. You've got to keep performing in order to get to the big leagues. Okay? It's a very sad state of the world. And we wonder why the world's full of angst. We wonder why the world's full of, you know, the people are full of tension. You wonder why the world's a miserable place. It's because they do not understand the love of God at all. It's a beautiful thing. I've got written down here, where is your focus? What does your religion teach? Do you understand where our focus should be? Not in the fearful position worrying about performing for God, but a loving focus doing the right thing. When you are given the freedom to be complete in Christ, then you do the right thing. It's an amazing thing. The more we study, the more we understand, the more we do the right thing. You don't think about the wrong thing anymore. It's all gone. You're living in the joy of Christ, and you're focused in a different place. That's what we have the opportunity to be, if you truly understand it. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 17 through 19. Is that my phone? I didn't turn my phone off. Oh, no. Can't have that. Oh, yeah.
I just leave money in the car.
Yes. Anybody, 2 Corinthians 5, 17 through 19?
Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not in putting their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation.
Absolutely. All things become new. You know, guess what? That means your sin nature. Your sin nature living here is there, but your sin position is all new. You're done. You're done with sin. And you accept the finished work of Christ. 18. Who reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. That's how we get into heaven. That's how we get into the body of Christ. My favorite verse is 19. To wit, that God was in Christ. Think about that for a minute. It doesn't get any more personal than that. And people mess that up. And they take the finished work of Christ and then they try to add to it. Hey, wasn't it enough that God was in Christ? The issue isn't reconciliation anymore. The issue is belief. The reconciliation of the world has happened, if you choose to believe it. If you don't, you're outside that. You're on your own. Okay? That's the beauty of it all. Grace. Let me clear my eyes here a second. Grace must be the foundation of your faith. If not, it will focus you on performing to win favor with God, and not as an ambassador sharing the gospel. When you do this, you will begin a process that robs you of your peace and joy. Boy, how many times have we seen that? In Christ. When you focus off of grace and the love of God, you will feel disconnected and fearful and judgmental. Bold point here. This is where many Christians find themselves and wonder why the joy of their salvation is gone. Either one, never had it to begin with, or two, they're focused in the wrong place and they're miserable.
Isn't that the truth? When you're judgmental and finding fault with others, you're not going to have joy.
No, not even close. Instead of finding beautiful things, or finding people who need help, or finding things you can do in a positive manner, oh, I'm going to criticize, I'm going to do this, I'm going to judge this, I'm going to judge this. Years ago, I had somebody gave me a study and said, how wide is your road of grace? I don't have to participate in their lifestyles if I don't agree with them, but I can still love them, and I can still talk to them, and I can still try to reach them. Okay.
That is a beautiful phrase. How wide
is your road of grace? So it's very important that we focus in the right place. This is this is what their pastors teach them from the pulpit. I truly believe we are meant to both deliver and experience God's love and joy to the world. The joy that we get, the experience we get out of understanding our position in Christ, we need to deliver to the world. It becomes an opportunity for us to do that in any way we can. Okay? There's lots of different ways that happens. If you're not experiencing love in our lives, our focus is not in the right place. Let's go to Romans chapter 15, verse 13. See, if I can fold up here, I can look at the time, right? Not that it's going to make any difference, but go ahead. Anybody? Romans 15, 13.
No.
Go ahead.
Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost or Holy Spirit.
That's wonderful. Abound in hope, the joy, the peace. Galatians chapter 5, 22 says, but the fruits of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, godliness, faith. Wow. Those are the fruits you can enjoy when you rest in Christ. Those are the way you can look at the world when you rest in Christ. The world is an evil place, and it's full of all sorts of evil and negativity and all these kinds of things. But you don't have to participate. Spiritually speaking, you're already in heaven. But now you've got the tools here to understand and live and grow that way. It's a wonderful thing to be in Christ and enjoy the world and not deal with all this stuff. I'm in business. There's negativity in business all the time. I don't think about it. I don't deal with it. And sometimes my clients ask me, Mike recently, our buddy up there, asked me, why are you like this? And I was able to share the gospel with them, where I'm coming from. Because it isn't about negativity. All of us are going to be here. I'm going to be here at least another 40 years. But then after that, you know, we're out of here. Hey, I'm 62. That's only 102. I should get there. Yeah, with my physical condition, cakewalk. Okay. The point is, whatever time you have left in this world, you can enjoy it while you're here. Because the future's great, okay? You know, when I'm gone, don't be sorry for me, okay? I'll be in a much better place. I'll be gone. I'll be history. It'll be beautiful. The Spirit, you know, love, joy, peace. 1 Thessalonians 1:6.
And he became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost. That's what is special.
Yeah, it is. In much affliction, but with joy of the Holy Ghost. Doesn't matter your situation. Doesn't matter your condition. We can be focused in the right place. But how do we find that joy? Let's look at some things to understand. And we're going to Dave's favorite circle. Everybody like gives me a hard time about joy in this. I'll try to keep it so that it's nice.
But I love this. I thought of this often.
It has. It's helped a lot of people over the years. I know. Okay. I'm not going.
Hey, Mom.
All right, let's see how these work. There we go.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it right there. Okay, let's talk about this for a minute. God wants us to have a joyful, wonderful life. Okay? The world, we know, is not full of that. The world's full of Satan and everything else. But he says, hey, here's a great way to live. Right here, here, here. He outlines things about us. Have joy, peace, the way we should look at things, the way we should help others, ambassador for Christ. All sorts of good things. Okay? We, on the other hand, sometimes live over here. Well, not when the marker doesn't work. And we don't go there. We, on the other hand, live over here. We live in the fringes. And guess what? When we live in the fringes and we live back in the world and we don't focus on the things that God teaches us or the right things to focus on, we have misery. We might think it's pretty cool for a few moments, like Pastor says, looks good, feels good, you know, whatever, all those things. But in the end, there's no joy in Leadville. The older you get, the more you realize this, okay? When you're young, you're out here all the time. You live, in fact, you live out here. Sylvia's shaking her head, you know? The reality is, the more you learn, the more you understand, and the more mature you get, you realize this is a great place to be. This is where we need to be. This is where joy is found. This is where that peace is found. This is where we can share with others the love of Christ. This is where we can share with them this diagram so they understand it. When you're over here, it's not God punishing you, it's you living outside of God's idea of what should be done. People go, oh, look at me, I got this or this happened to me. I got drunk in my car crash. It must be God. Who was it? Wait a minute, there was somebody on Facebook just yesterday. Oh, yeah, she was sick. Yeah. She's like, what am I doing wrong? What's wrong with my faith? And she listed, she had some medical issues. Why is God punishing me? And she had some medical issues. I chimed in and gave her my two cents. Okay, I'm not sure I'll have any impact. But a whole bunch of other people, you need to pray more.
Oh,
you know, there's some sin in your life. You know, all, yeah, seriously. All these things were the advice she got on Facebook.
Probably something your daddy
did. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Two generations earlier, her uncle Ned did this back in the day. Yeah. This is us, folks, not God. You live outside what God designs us to live in, you get some misery. It's going to happen. Been there, done that, owned the t-shirt. I got a whole drawer full of t-shirts, okay? I mean, I'm ready to go. I can last a year or two without anybody buying anything. That's the reality. That's why I have that diagram. We know that outside the godly path, the world is run by Satan. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2.
In time past, she walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience.
Here we go. World's full of it. We get outside the spaces we need to be in. It's not God punishing you. Understand that. It's you punishing yourself. We talk about that a lot, and I want people to get that, especially people on the internet that may have heard this for the first time. When something bad happens in your life, it has nothing to do with God punishing you. It is what it is sometimes, because life is life. And if you've created the situation, guess what? It's you punishing you. Okay? Don't put it back on God. Take it, you know, take responsibility for it and refocus your life into the right place. You know, it's difficult. I've dealt with people with addictions before. And they just can't give it up. You know, they just keep going back to it. They keep going back to it. Even though they know better, they become, and they get themselves punished by themselves. They live in misery. They just can't let it go. Paul teaches us the right way to live in the dispensation of grace. Let's go there. Titus chapter 2, verses 2 through 14. Now, all of these, of course, I have down, and I never had any problems with them. But let's go through some of these things. Titus 2, 2 through 14, this big passage here. Scott, go ahead, buddy.
All right. That aged men be sober, turn the page, brave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity and patience. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers.
Not false accusers. Like, quit talking about the other people. Quit talking about those other women. You guys do this like amazing amount. You know, it's just like, do you realize? Did you see what she was wearing? Did you gossip? There we go. Fancy term. Thank you. It goes on. Keep going. Men gossip too. But we just do it differently. Yep.
It's for a good reason.
That's right.
Not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. That they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men likewise, exhort to be sober-minded in all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptibleness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters, and to please them well in all things, not answering again, not purloining, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things. Number 14. Right?
Yeah, 14. Yeah.
For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ is God, right now, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto him a peculiar people, zealous of good works.
All right. Up through verse 11, there's examples of how to be. Continuous ideas, how to be with your kids, how to be with your husbands, how to be with your mates, how to live your life. But it all comes together in verses 11 through 14. Why? For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men.
Amen.
Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. That's what he's getting to.
Should.
Where our focus should be, right? Looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. In 14, I love, who gave himself for us. Jesus is responsible for your salvation. You accept what he did. You do not accept it for yourself. You understand the focus is on what he did. You recognize that it was Jesus who did this, and you participate in that. People go, I accept Jesus. Well, no, I understand what Jesus did, and I accept the finished work of it. To rest in that is very important. Who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a particular people zealous of good works. He's telling us where the focus is, and I just got the hands. Okay. That means 10 minutes. That means like half hour, right? Okay, anyway. As we talked about before, it's very important that we live godly lives as an example for the world. When you are living a godly life, that doesn't mean you would break out your Bible and pray every time you can at work or whatever, but when opportunities come up, you have stuff to share in a positive vein. When people want to know more, you have something at hand to explain it to them. I deal a lot with the barbecue world. They all know where I'm coming from because I've talked to all of them at some point or another about my faith. Now that I've gotten married, that'll be something I can talk about, and I can bring that to their attention, and then we can talk about it more. The reality is, and I joke with them all, are you kidding? Dave's not some sober character in the real world. I'll joke more than anybody, and sometimes inappropriately, and sometimes I stick my foot in my mouth. Yeah, that's true. And sometimes I stick my foot in my mouth, and I have to apologize because I stepped over some line not knowing it, okay? But it happened.
But enjoyed it while you did.
I didn't even enjoy it. I just did it because it's me. Right. You know, didn't even think about it. Exactly.
Don't feel like the Lone Ranger.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that makes you feel a lot better. Okay. The reality is, I love life, and I joke about things, and I have fun with things. You'll never see me put another person down. If there's a joke, it's on me, or it's on the situation or the circumstances. It'll never be putting someone else down, ever. Because that's negative. That's going to hurt somebody. I would put myself down. No problem. That's easy to do. And I can have fun doing that because everybody knows I don't believe it anyway. Okay? But that's important because we can share the joy of our lives and people want to know, why are you so happy all the time? What's going on with you? Why is it this way? Why is it that way? Okay? I've got employees. I've got 7 of them. And they see that in me. And when they get in the car with me, we go on the road. Guess what? They get to hear it sometimes. You know, they're all different levels of spirituality. I know all their stories. Okay?
They can't get out.
Yep. And the person that hates it more than anybody is my son.
Yeah.
No, because he knows everything like his dad, so you know.
Well, that's normal.
That's right. It works out well. As we talked about before, where I'm at here. However, we do this not based on God punishing or being disappointed if we do not. We do it because it's the right thing to do. Let's go to Romans chapter 11, verse 1, real quick. There's a logic to all of this. I didn't have it written in your thing. You might write it in. It's my favorite verse. One of my favorite verses. Romans 11, 1. And it just makes sense when you see it and understand it. When you realize what God has done for you, then this plays in. Anybody?
11 and 1?
Yeah, 11 and 1.
I say then, have God cast away his people? God forbid.
Hebrews 12 1. I'm sorry, Hebrews 12 1. Am I in the right place?
It's 12 1.
Yeah, 12 1. Yeah, 12 1.
Did you say 11-1?
I did,
but so 12-1. Oh, okay.
Because I do make mistakes every once in a while. I did that on purpose, so you guys would realize I'm right.
Thank you.
That's right.
12-1.
Yes, Steve, thank you.
12-1.
Yes, 12-1.
I beseech you, therefore, brethren, mm-hmm. for the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service.
Bingo. If you don't think it's reasonable to give back to the world the love of Christ, and you have that, then you need to refocus yourself. You need to rethink this through, okay? Because everything has been given to us. We stand perfected in Christ. We stand before God perfect. We stand in the body of Christ. God doesn't see Dave's sin anymore. He sees Dave and goes, hallelujah, you're in Christ. Okay? God was in Christ reconciling the world. Do you think there's a connection there, guys? He knows where I'm at, and I'm complete in Christ. My future is covered. My present is covered. It's a done deal. So it's reasonable for me now, given all that, to give some of that back to the world. When you understand it, again, that's what this study is all about. That's what we do in this congregation, in this group, is to study, to know, to share, to put it back out there. Okay? Every one of us here has been through religion and got here because religion didn't do it. Because religion was frustrating. Because religion was full of angst. Religion was full of control. And I didn't understand that relationship with God. It didn't make sense to me, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Some of us very young. I was 15 when I got into the Grace Movement. Thank God. I didn't have years of that. Arm ahead. Years of that. Angst. Oh, my God. I know you get it this life. I've never felt that. Okay? I've been in joy with my Creator since I was 15, which was like 8 years ago. You know? It's been a good run.
You know? We all wish that.
Yeah, I hear you there. Okay. The point is, everyone can be there. You need to accept the finished work of Christ. And accepting the finished work of Christ is understanding that that's what God set up to happen in the world. And I accept what he did in order for me to be saved. A belief, an acceptance, there's all sorts of words you can use. But when you rest in it, when you go, yes, I got it, and I believe it, it's done. There's a joy that you can never experience otherwise. And there's a peace that passes all understanding, and you now can give back to the world that love and that joy. The more you learn, the more you understand, you give it back. Irma talks to some of her people where she works and brings up some things and tries to get them to understand things. Opportunity is everywhere. It doesn't matter where you're at. You have to be an evangelist. You have to be street corner screaming. You don't have to get up here and talk, okay? You just have opportunities. The more you know, the more you can share. It's as simple as that. But in the meantime, you're perfected in Christ. You're standing in the finished work of God. And it's a joyful, peaceful place to be. There's nothing better. One more verse here, and I think we're just about wrapping up. Right? Not really, but okay. Propitiation. I just want to talk about this for a second, okay? Romans chapter 3, verse 25. Whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. Propitiation, you can read this later when you get home, means as if it never happened. That's how complete we are in Christ. Not like, oh, Dave's got a record back there, and the books are filled to this point, and then he was saved, but the books are still there. No. The books are gone. The books are history. Propitiation is a finished work, okay? Go back here to the bottom of your page. It's probably in your outline, bottom of the page there. There's a few more verses you can read. You know, our position in Christ, we are forgiven. All sins, past, present, and future. All sin is forgiven. All things are lawful, but all things aren't healthy for us. Then go back to this. And there's some verses here you can read about that. I can do whatever I want because I sin perfect in God's eyes. But I'll tell you what, if I'm out here, I'm going to pay some sort of price for it. Eventually, no matter what. This is where I need to live. Is Dave here all the time? Hey, you're right? Perfect? Thank you. All right. She's married now. She has to say that. At the bottom of your page, love is far stronger than the fear and punishment is a motivation for godly living. I don't have to worry about living a certain way. I live a certain way because. Not because I better be careful or else. I live a certain way because what God has already done for me. Is it perfect? No. I still got my sinful nature. Will it eventually be perfect? No, not until I die. But in the meantime, my focus is in the right place, and as much opportunity as I can, that's where I begin my life and I focus on things. Let's close with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you again to be able to study, to understand. We've heard these messages before, but we keep pounding them home, especially for the people on the internet that may be hearing this the first time. Help them to understand their position in Christ frees them up to do wonderful things. Their position in Christ is not the starting of their salvation, and now they got to perform to make God happy and get that sanctification. Nope, it's all at one time. Help people to understand that. And because it's all at one time, it is our reasonable service to give it back to the world. And that becomes the strongest motivator of all. Give us all the opportunity this week to share the love of Christ with somebody. And if they want to know more, help them to understand what salvation is and how it happens. In your name, amen.
Take a break.